Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
That's your lot, that's your time. Sit back down. How are you this morning? Isn't snow cool? As long as it's just for a day. Because then we want to get back on with our lives. Great to see you this morning. Well done for making it through the snow. It was worse, wasn't it? Because it even started snowing just as you were leaving for church this morning. So in faith you came. No wonder there's such expectation in the room this morning. Hey, listen, whenever you pray, always pray with faith and expectation. You know, when we were praying this morning, gosh, it felt a little bit like we were, oh, I'm not sure, 50-50, I don't know what's going on. There should be a rise in this place when we're praying because we're expecting God to do something. Otherwise, we might as well not bother. Let's just go out and have a snowball fight. But we're people of faith who believe that when we pray, God hears and then God acts. It's not always how we expect Him to act, but it will always be doing the impossible things for us because He's a God of the possible. And so we're in the middle of 21 days of faith. I don't know if you're aware of that, but for 21 days, we've been seeking God for different things related to Hope City Church because we're one church in 10 locations and we are growing and expanding and we're believing God to do great things this year as He has done for the last 22. Five of you think so, the rest are thinking, I don't know. Do you know, there'd be nothing worse than having a year exactly the same as last year this year. I don't want to go around another mountain. I want to see God do more, and I want to see God do beyond what I can even imagine. That's what I'm praying for. So whenever someone says, hey, what should we pray for? Don't just, let's just pray that it goes well this year. That's going to put me to sleep. I guess it probably make God quite bored too. Maybe he nods off. Oh, another good year. God's not looking for a good year. He's looking for a great year. A year that goes beyond your wildest expectations. And there's some stuff coming up just to get you into gear. Let me just go through a few things. This Thursday, because there's nothing else on this week. This Thursday, as part of the Great British Churches Tour, our senior pastor, Dave Gilpin, who's back from his long service leave, is in Liverpool. And the good news is he's actually decided to come here while he's in Liverpool rather than go to another church. He's coming here. He's going to come to Hope City Church. How awesome is that? And he's bringing a guest with him, none other than Pastor Steve Kennedy. Now, if you've never met Steve Kennedy before, he's a raw Aussie. He looks, I don't know, he's got a Merv Hughes moustache. He's just pure Aussie, but he's one of the best preachers I've ever heard. And they're here to talk about leadership. And every one of us in this room, as a man or a woman of faith in Jesus Christ, is a leader. Because you've got to lead yourself, if nobody else. You've got to lead your hormones. You've got to lead your mind. You've got to lead the decisions that you make. You've got to lead your bosses. You've got to lead those that are working with you. You've got to lead those that work beneath you. You are a leader. Whether you like it or not, you are a leader. And so this night on Thursday is to sharpen your leadership skills for 2013. And we've opened it up to the whole church. This isn't just for Connect leaders or aspiring leaders or emerging leaders. It's for the leaders of Hope City Liverpool, which is you. Just prod the person next to you and say, you're the leader. Because you are, not much conviction there. Not much conviction there. No, you're the leader. There you are. You are a leader. And we need to develop those leadership skills this year. So I'd love to see this place packed out on Thursday night. We're inviting the folks from Hope City, Lancashire to come and be a part of the night too. And so I said to the partners on Wednesday, I said, listen, last time we did something joint in conjunction with Lancashire, the people who travelled an hour from Lancashire got here before the people from Liverpool who travelled for 5 minutes. Aren't you horrified by that? I'm horrified by that. That shocks me. I'm thinking, so Lancashire came and they created this lovely atmosphere for Hope City Liverpool to come to when it was our gig. When you have something on at your house, you don't go out while your guests arrive and then come in afterwards and go, wow, this thing sounds great. I'm here. I'm in. If you have something on at your house, you take some time to prepare it in advance so that when the guests arrive, they come into something with music pumping, with food there, with something that's there, so they think, wow, this place is buzzing. So if you were part of Hope City Liverpool, just put your hand up if you're part of Hope City Liverpool. Wow, not many people excluded from that one. So if you're part of Hope City Liverpool, I know it's a tough turnaround on a Thursday night with kids and band practice and anything else that's going on, but it's not as tough for us as it is if you're coming from Lancashire. So the deal is we get here a little bit before 7:30. We do what we can to get here a little bit earlier so the people from Lancashire, when they arrive, they go, wow, this place is amazing. These people in Liverpool are so friendly. I can't wait for tonight. It's going to be awesome. Oh, look, there's Steve Kennedy. This thing's going to go off now because we've created the atmosphere. Oh, you're all with me, aren't you, really? I know you don't respond and show that, but you're really like inside, you're going, yes, this is it. I'm in. Okay. You're making me work hard. This is where I really earn my money today, isn't it? Don't be mean to me. I know it's cold outside, but it's hot in here. So that's this Thursday. That's this Thursday. Is it in your diary yet? Thank you. Then the week after an awesome Sunday, we've got the launch of Connect for 2013. It's the first Connect night of the year. And if you think you were made to do life on your own, forget it. You were designed to do life with other people. And so you need to be in a Connect group this year. If you weren't in one last year, why don't you test drive one? Start of 2013. And take someone with you. Because the Connect are aimed at just gathering people up, putting them into a small group where they feel connected, where they feel like they're doing life with people, and where you start to grow in your expectation of what God can do through you and for you in 2013. Everybody needs encouragement. You need encouragement. You'll get that in Connect. But guess what? You're also designed to give encouragement, and you can give that in Connect. So much of the Bible is do things together. The one another's of the Bible. Love one another. Share with one another. Care for one another. You can't do that unless you've got another. You need a one another. So that's where it happens in Connect Group. So that launches next week after we've had Steve Kennedy here this Thursday. And then we had to rearrange She Is Invitational Night. It was going to be bowling and dessert down on Edge Lane. And so that's for Friday the 1st of February. 2 weeks' time, just less than 2 weeks' time. So for all the ladies that are here, this is just a great opportunity to hang out, have some fun together, forget the kids and ignore them for a while, let your husbands take the strain, have a night out, have some fun, and bring the friends that are in your world. And so that's going to be on the 1st of February, 7:30, at Hollywood Bowl on Edge Lane. And there's also a She Is conference, I have heard, on the 22nd of February. So for the ladies again, there are going to be some awesome speakers. It's going to be a great hangout time. I think you know about it already, but there are also flyers on your chairs today. Could everyone just wave the She Is flyer? Because I'm not sure whether it got out there. Is it there? Look at this. Interactive church in the 21st century. There are flyers. Okay, those are for the ladies. Men, if you've got a lady in your life, why don't you hand it over to them? And it is going to just inspire their faith and set them up for 2013. It's going to be brilliant. If you want more information, see Nicola Andrassi. She's down here on the left. She's here all day. So you can go and see her at the end of the morning. Give her a hand. That is awesome. Should we carry on? Or should we just say that's church now? Should we get into the Word of God for the morning? I'm just trying to gauge how excited and full of expectation you are. Just decide whether I'm going to do it or not. I think you're starting to take me for granted now. I've been doing this far too long. There's a little bit of, oh, he just does the same thing week in, week out. Shh. this has been a painful week in terms of getting a message ready for Sunday. Do you realize the pain sometimes and the agony that I go through on our behalf to find something of inspiration in the Bible? It's really strange, isn't it? Even when you think, I know what I want to say, and I know what passage I want to use to say that with, but there's no light bulb moment that you go, ah, I see it, this is it, this is how it's going to come. Thank you, God, you give me some inspiration. Guess when it came? 8 o'clock this morning. How painful is that? That's frightening when you've got to go and speak to 100 people. I go, oh God, why are we doing this at 8 o'clock this morning? I've worked hard all week to put something together. Anyway, I think, I know that this has been inspired. And I've categorized them. There are, let me get this right. There are tweakers and there are twitchers. And I don't know which category you're going to fall into, but you'll probably decide as I just define who they are and what they do. Here's what a tweaker does at the start of 2013. They think that with a bit of tweaking, with a few minor adjustments, with some incremental improvement for 2013, it will be the best year yet. That's their perspective. They're generally optimistic. They love New Year's. They can't wait to get stuck in because they think if they can just change a little bit more, do a little bit more, work a little bit harder, then this year is going to be the best that they've ever experienced. Are there any tweakers in the room? Oh, three of you. So that means the rest of you fall into the twitchers. This is what the twitchers do. You look at all that has to be done in 2013. You look at all that hangs in the balance in 2013. You look at everything that could possibly go wrong in 2013. And you look at 2013 and you think, this year is scary. You would rather bank what you have now than go forward into a new year like they do on those game shows. You'd rather run back into the safety of 2012 rather than going forward into the future and the unknown of 2013. Have we got any twitchers in the room? There's a few twitchers in the room. So let me see. So my idea of categorizing everybody between two has completely failed because there are three tweakers, one twitcher, and none of you fit into either of those two categories for the rest of you. Is that right? And you've all died anyway. Okay. Here's the one thing that tweakers and twitchers have in common. Apart from the grammar. You see, this is why comedians never come to Liverpool. Because you're all smarter than the person standing with the microphone. You're all far sharper and quicker. Apart from the letter T and the letter W, it's that the burden for the year, they feel, lands squarely on their shoulders. That the demand to fix it, improve it, or make it happen is on them. That the success of 2013 rides on them. Success or failure is down to them. Whether you're a tweaker who thinks if I can just change something and improve something, then it's going to be amazing. Or you're a twitcher who says, gosh, this looks scary. I don't know whether I've got what it takes to do this thing. Ultimately, the responsibility for doing it comes down to both tweakers and twitchers. And I love what Nick said at the end of worship today, because she said something in there that was just a genius phrase. Both tweakers and twitchers forget that God is God and they are not. They forget that God is the one who's supposed to be carrying the weight, not them. He's the one who's the God of the impossible. They've just got to handle the possible. They forget. We're so quick to forget that he is infinitely able and we're infinitely unable. That's the gig. You've got a very big God and a very small you. But we take the burden of making the year happen on us so that we can then impress God and not bother him. But actually, we're weak, he's strong. What is impossible for us is possible with God. We need to start 2013 remembering where the weight and the responsibility lie. And instead of using up all our energy trying to fix 2013, change ourselves, or worry about not being able to, instead we need to use that energy in seeking him, in pursuing him passionately, because he's the one with the power. He's the one with the answers. He's the one with the strength that he wants to transfer onto you. But instead, we use all of this energy thinking, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. There's my plan, there's my strategy, this is my wisdom. Or we go, no, this is going to be awful. And all of our energy just goes on biting our nails and then hiding and burying our head in the sand with another rerun of 24 or whatever it is, ignoring it. Instead of using that energy, whether it's fear and worry or trying to fix it in the strain, and going, I'm going to use that and go to God with that. and I'm going to seek him. And I'm going to actually say to God, Lord God, unless you do something this year stinks. Unless you do something this year, God, I'm in a mess. Unless you do something this, God, everything that I do to improve and change and plan is in vain. What I want is not more of me, I want more of you. That's why we're doing 21 Days of Faith, because it's a statement that says at the beginning of this year, I'm hanging my hope on God instead of hanging my hope on me. Instead of trying to cover up our weaknesses and develop our strengths, I think we need to be comfortable with our weakness so that we rely on God's strength. I'll say that again, because this is, we are all trained this way. Our coping mechanism is to plaster over weaknesses and then develop the strengths that we identify in ourselves, because that's good strategy. And we've learned that from school. But I don't think it's what the Bible teaches. The Bible actually says, face your weaknesses head on so that you depend on God's strength instead of developing your strength. Because no matter how strong you are, it's finite and limited. As soon as you say, I'm weak, he's strong, you tap into a strength that's infinite and able to do the impossible. I don't care how educated, intelligent, in demand you are by Hollywood, you are still finite in your ability to pull anything off in 2013, and God isn't. The wise person at the start of this year says, I am weak, he is strong, I'm going to pursue him and depend on him instead of relying on me. Tweakers, twitchers, it's good news. Let's check out what Paul thought about this. This is taken from 2 Corinthians, the second letter he wrote to the Corinthian church, chapter 12 and verse 7. I love this. It's going to come on the screens right now. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these, this is Paul saying this, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. I don't really have any idea what that is, but it's clearly, annoying, but it's clearly a weakness of some kind that it seems that God has allowed him to have. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, oh, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is Paul, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. His declaration at the start of his year when he wrote to the Corinthians was, when I'm weak, I can actually say that I'm strong because I'm trading my weakness for God's supernatural strength. I want there to be this morning a power exchange. This Sunday, it's an empowering Sunday. There's going to be a transfer as you take the plug socket out, or the plug out of the socket of your own life, and put it into the socket of heaven and say, right, no more short circuits trying to do this thing on my own. I'm going to plug myself in to the divine power source, and it's going to be a year where my impossibilities become my possibilities, because now there's a new charge, a surge of energy that's coming through you when you own up to the fact that you're weak. Paul says he delights in his weakness. When was the last time you went, I'm weak? Yay! We don't do that, do we? Paul did. He literally delighted in weakness because he saw it as an opportunity for God to show off, to showcase his strength, instead of saying, come on, Paul, show me what you can do. Show me what you can do, Paul. Paul would say, no, I can't. But Paul was happy to say that because then he knew that God would say, excellent, now I can. Let's have a look a little bit more at twitches. For the three of you that are in the room, and for the rest of us to simply observe you. The modus operandus of a twitcher is life is a test. Their motto is God helps those who pass the test. Their problem is that they fail the test and it discourages them and makes them dispirited. They feel like they don't match up, and so they give up. Their perspective, this is for those of you that know that the senior pastor is called Dave Gilpin, is, I could never be like Dave Gilpin. That's the perspective of a twitcher, because they feel like they can never match up. And their solution is to hide. Their solution is to basically step back. Their solution is to run away. Their solution is to give up because it's too difficult for them. Let me introduce you to a twitcher in the Bible. Are you ready to find a twitcher in the Bible? Because there's loads of them. There are loads of them. I'm just going to give you one example. It's found in the book of Judges, and his name was Gideon. Some knowing mms. Yes, he was. He was a twitcher. And let me just give you a bit of background before we read the story. God's chosen people at this moment in time are in bad state of affairs. They have entered into the land that God had promised them. But the bad news was that they'd messed up, and now God had allowed a more powerful group of people to come and oppress God's people. They were called the Midianites. Yeah. You thought the pantomime season was over. It's just begun in Hope City, Liverpool. And so the Midianites, right, they're really smart people. What they do, they allow the Israelites to plant the seed and then the crop to grow. And just as the Israelites think, yummy food, then the Midianites come in their droves and they force the Israelites out of the lowlands where it's rich and fertile land, and they push them up to the mountains. And then the Midianites... You lot are rubbish today. What's wrong with you? Anyway, you're never supposed to say that someone's rubbish. That's not very motivational. I'm sorry. I take that all back. You're brilliant. You're lovely. You're very good looking. And you're just warming up. I know. And so the Midianites come. And so they boot the Israelites up. And at that moment, the Midianites take all of the food and they eat it all for themselves. And then they let their sheep and their cows use the most fertile land. Oh, this is wonderful. Is he behind me yet? No. And so they do all of this. And so the Israelites, they go up to the mountains and they hide in caves, crevices, and shelters that they build for themselves called strongholds, because they're in a stronghold. They are being intimidated. They are being defeated. They are being overwhelmed. They are being oppressed. They know that they can't do this on their own. They're twitchers. They just want to hide away. But it's a pretty miserable life. And so this is what happens. God decides, because they cry out to him, God decides that he's going to intervene. And he shows up to an individual called Gideon. And we will take up the story in Judges 6, verses 11 to 16. But it's a long story, so I'm going to read it myself from the Bible. If Tash can keep up, the words will appear on the screen. But listen to me, don't look at the screen unless... I was just going to say something completely politically incorrect, and I just thought I'd ignore that. So here we go. This is Judges 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash. Anyway, the names are irrelevant. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least. I'm the weakest in my own family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." I love this story. Anyway, I just thought I'd say that. I do love this story because Gideon right now is being the twitcher of all twitchers. And what I love about it is that even in the midst of him hiding and doing totally illogical, crazy things, because let's face it, you're not supposed to thresh wheat in a wine press. Have you noticed that when you are fearful, you don't act logically? When you're scared, you do things that you probably ought not do. When you are intimidated, you generally do not act out of faith. Because you're acting out of fear, you do dumb things. You make wrong choices. Like Gideon, threshing wheat in a wine press. But what I love is that even though his convictions aren't in alignment with his thoughts or his actions, even though he knows there's a God of Israel, even though he knows this God of Israel is the God of heaven and earth, and he knows that God has delivered the people of God before out of Israel, he knows all of that, his lifestyle is not in sync with his belief. His convictions don't match up with his beliefs, his thoughts don't match up with his convictions, and his actions don't match up with his thoughts. This man's in complete disunity within himself, and so is anyone that's acting out of fear for their future. Because you know that God is able. You know that God is strong and mighty. You know that God has done great things for you in your past, but you're allowing fear to dictate how you live. Like threshing wheat in a wine press. But do you know what? You see, the problem with the twitcher is they think, oh, so God doesn't like me and he's abandoned me. In fact, that's what Gideon says. Surely God's abandoned us. What I love, and for any twitchers in the room, here's your encouragement, God comes down. God doesn't say, come on, Gideon, once you've sorted your life out, once you get out of that silly little wine press, once you show yourself mighty and strong, then I will come and help you, which is what a twitcher thinks they've got to do. Actually, in the mess of Gideon's life, God comes down and says, ta-da, Gideon, I'm here. And what does he say? The Lord is about to slap you about, Gideon, because you've been such a fearful, timid, silly little man. He doesn't do that, does he? He says, Gideon, listen, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And then he says, mighty warrior. Now listen, we read that story sometimes and think, gosh, God must have been looking across the whole of the people of Israel. And he saw this amazing guy built like an absolute oak, or a center, you know, a front row forward in the rugby team, thought, there's my guy. He's called Gideon. Look how awesome he is. I'm gonna just trigger something in him, and then this thing's gonna explode. Gideon was not amazing. He was not a mighty warrior. He was not a warrior. He later says, I'm the weakest in my family, and my family are the weakest tribe out of all of God's people. What on earth, God, are you doing with me? And God says, well, actually, I think you qualify for selection because you know full well you're not strong. You know that you're weak. That's perfect selection material for God. The problem is we think we know that we're weak, therefore God doesn't care. He's not interested in me. But it's not what God does. We think that God is far away, disinterested, uncaring, but God comes down and then says, and by the way, you're a mighty warrior. You see, we define ourselves from our upbringing, from our experiences last year, from what people say over us. It could be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could be a school teacher. But there's a voice that replays in your mind that defines you, and God has to redefine you by changing your name so that you speak differently about yourself. God didn't select the mightiest warrior, come down and go, Gideon, remember, you're the mighty warrior. He said, let me start afresh with you, Gideon, and remind you, I'm calling you to be a mighty warrior. God does the same with you and I. He comes down into our world and he says, you're a child of God. You're an overcomer. You reign with Christ. You're a friend of Christ. You reign in life. You are an heir of the living God. And the question is, which are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the voices that play over and over in our mind that define us based on our past experiences? Or are we going to believe who God says we are this year? He says, you're a child of God. You're an overcomer. You're a friend of Jesus Christ. You are loved by the King of Kings. If you allow yourself to think on those things, meditate on those things, get back into your identity in Christ, you'll find that you start to look differently at 2013. I love the fact that God does this. But here's the shocking thing, because I think we'd all expect God to sort of help Gideon with his low self-esteem and his poor identity. But this is the brilliant thing about God. Look what he then says to Gideon. Having started an exchange with him, he then says this. Somehow I'm in Joshua now. That's not quite right. Judges. Here we go. He says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel. That's cruel, isn't it? No, that is, I don't care. You may have rebranded Gideon as a mighty warrior, even though he's a puny little guy stuck in his wine press. But to then go, Gideon, now go. I'm sending you. Oh, by the way, Gideon, in your strength, go in your strength, you mighty warrior, you. Go on, whoop, shoo him out to face, by the way, an infinite number of Midianites. That's cruel, unless there's a purpose behind it. You see, even for a twitcher, what God then has to do is expose the weakness and the fear that they have inside their heart. That's strange, isn't it? But that's how God works. He doesn't want to go, right, I'm going to make this really easy for you, Gideon, now. What I'm going to do, right, I'm just going to go down to the valley there. I'm just going to wipe out this army. And then you can go, yeah, I'm the mighty warrior. My name's Gideon. And then it'll be cool, right? And that, because I know it's a difficult situation. Don't worry about that. I'll sort it out and then I'll bring you in on the scene. He says, right, Gideon, go, 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 get up, go, come on, go. You've got strength. You go and do it. And Gideon's like, I haven't got strength. That's what he says. He says, I'm weak. My family is weak. My tribe is weak. I am weak. I think that's exactly where God wanted him. To actually say, listen, I'm weak, God. I'm weak. I'm unable. I can't do this. And God was making him declare that he was weak by saying, go on, go in your own strength. If you really want to do 2013, go on, go in your own strength. Go and do it. Go make 2013 happen. If you think you can, go make it happen. And Gideon says, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't think I am. I'm a twitcher. I'm hiding. I don't think I can. I'm weak. But it's funny, isn't it? That God's trying to expose weakness so that we face weakness, not to discourage us, but to actually prove that we can't, so that then our faith engages, so that we say, but you can, God. You can do this for me. It's just that I can't. Can we just leave the twitchers there for a moment and come back to the tweakers? Because I know that they were in the minority. I know there's only one of these guys, but we'll just deal with them as well. So for the tweakers, right, their modus operandi for living is life is a project. Life is a project that we have a go at. And we all love projects, don't we? Because you learn how to do a project when you're at school. I can still remember my primary school projects that I did. I was in school with, does anyone watch Miranda? Yeah? In Miranda, there's a little girl, isn't there? I can't remember what she's called. But the actress is Sarah Hadland. We were in the same class, me and Sarah Hadland. We were in the same, she's older than me. And her birthday was February, mine's in June. She's a February birthday. And but what's really funny, because Zoe's just started watching Miranda, and I've told her, I said, hey, we were in the same primary school, me and Sarah Hadland. She says, really? She's so young looking, Daddy. You look much older. Straight back at her, I said, yeah, that's because she has not had kids. Zoe was like, oh yeah, all right, it's my fault now. Yep. I am what I am because of you, Zoe Davis. These lines of worry and anxiety and stress and sleepless nights. But I kept it all back. But we do. You know, that's where I learned to plagiarize in primary school. Just got a book. Oh, look at that. All that about the Tudors. Slap it on. Now it's a bit more sophisticated. It's cut and paste, all off Google. But that's the beginning of projects, isn't it? But all the time we're doing projects. Even having a baby is like having a project for men. It's like, right, so the your wife gets pregnant and then she gets larger and then you have the baby and you think, fantastic, job done, what's next? Not realizing it's the beginning of something far bigger for you than just a baby. Even in marriage, you see someone, you know, you see a man fall in love, go all giddy, and he gets all a bit, you know, and he lavishes gifts, has a bit of a lobotomy, forgets who he really is. I fell in love with Anna and I pretended I didn't like football. I don't think I even pretended. It didn't interest me for about 4 months. And then I realized who I was, and now I just can't get enough of this stuff. But it's funny because men do all of that, and then they propose and they win the bride of their dreams, and then they get married, and you can see on their faces relief on the wedding day. Oh, project done. Tick box. We've achieved. It's accomplished. I have my wife. Tick. What's next in my game plan for life? Where's the ladies there? Fantastic. This has just begun now. This process in life has just begun. But tweakers are project-based. Their motto is God helps those who help themselves. Their problem is that their limited success is based on their ability to get better and better and learn and learn. And their perspective is that one day they will be like Dave Gilpin. And so they try harder and they try harder and they try harder. And it's exhausting because they just keep trying harder all of the time. I want to introduce you to a tweaker. His name is Gideon. And it's in the book of Judges. Let me just give you a bit more of the background now. Because the story's moved on. And so Gideon has now become convinced, after a lot of convincing, that God is going to help him raise an army and defeat the Midianites. And so now he's on the same page as God. And so he's going to start putting the steps in place, the wheels in motion, to duff up the Midianites. This is good news. Just as a quick aside, it's interesting, isn't it, how you can be a tweaker one minute and then a twitcher the next, and then move from being a twitcher to being a tweaker again. Now you're all looking really confused at me. Well, let me just give you an example. I don't know, you feel like life's really tough, that you're finding life hard to do things right. Then you find faith in Jesus Christ. You realize that he loves you, he saved you, he died on a cross, he's made you forgiven, put right with God, you're perfect with him. You think, wow, that's amazing, a free gift. But you've been a twitcher, but now you become a tweaker. You think, God, that's amazing, let me pay you back. I'm going to try harder, because you must have chosen me for a reason. You must have thought that I could be a good person. So now you try really hard to be a good person. Now you're a tweaker. Now you're going to tweak a few things. God, if I can just change a few things, make some incremental progress in my life, then it will justify the reason why you selected me in the first place. This is going to be amazing. And then you tweak and you tweak and you tweak and you fail and you fail and you fail. And you realize, wow, God, I'm not quite the person I thought I was. Now you become a twitcher again. You think, God, you must have left me. You must have abandoned me, because really, you chose me for all the wrong reasons. I thought I was much better than this, but really I'm actually quite bad. God, why have you abandoned me? I'm going to hide. I'm going to just die over here somewhere. I've now become a twitcher again. Do none of you relate to that? We go from one to the other, don't we? We tweak. We try and change. We think B plan, A plan, C plan, Z plan, it's all in the bag. Then it fails, and then we go, right, now I'm going to twitch. I'm going to twitch. I'm hiding. I'm scared. This thing's not going to work. And either we think God thinks I must be amazing, or we think God thinks I must be rubbish. And either way, we think God's quite a long way away. Here's what Gideon did. I love this. Let me just check. We're going in the... Is this all right? Here's the story. Gideon in Judges 6, verse 33. Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord, so all the baddies have got together. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet summoning the Abrazites to follow him. He's got an ally. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, so that they went up to meet him. He's pulled in the armies of four of the tribes. And then we're going to carry on the story in verse 1. So he's got his army together. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, he's changed his name, and went to whatever it is you go to, and all the men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. I love this. You see, Gideon now, he's pumped. He's thinking, wow, I am a mighty warrior. This thing's going down. I'm getting my army together. This thing is amazing. I love that. He's become a tweaker. He's got 30,000 men from four tribes. He's got an ally. He's also got a battle plan. The Midianites are in the valley. He's on the hilltops. He thinks this thing now is going off. This is it. God's given us this amazing strategy. He's given us the high ground. The enemy are in the low ground. They're trapped in the valley. We're going down on these boys, and we're going to just cause them to go. And this is what God says to a tweaker who likes to just adjust things and make things just so. God says in Judges verse 2, I love this. God says, hang on a second, Gideon. You have too many men. you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Oh! God is so cruel. When he's hiding over here in a cave, God says, go on then, go in your own strength. And he's like, no, my strength's rubbish. I'm weak, I'm rubbish. And then when he's like, yeah, this is going to be amazing, God says, whoa, slow down. You've stacked the odds too much in your favor. What's going on here? You're far too strong in your own eyes. I want you weak, Gideon. I need you weak. I liked it when you were weak over here, because then you knew that I was the strong man. Now you think you're strong because you've got 30,000 men and you're too strong. I need you weak. And so God reduces his army from 30,000 to, let me think, 300. What a meanie God is. You're thinking, that's nuts, God. 300 men against an army of Oh, so many that you couldn't even count them. They were like the number of grains of sand on a beach. What? 300 against infinity in this battle, and you think, God, that's good odds. Listen, if you look ahead at 2013 and you think, this thing is bigger than me, that's a good place to be. You are right where God wants you to be. Just hold on, Ellie, just for a minute. You are right where God wants you to be. God doesn't want you strong. Oh, sure, he wants you full of expectation. Sure, he wants you to think that there are some impossible things that only he can do for you. But he doesn't want you thinking, this is mine. It's in the bag. He wants you thinking, I am weak. God, I need you. So Gideon thinks, fantastic. Okay, so the odds are stacked against us now. It's 300 to infinity. But you must, God, have a secret weapon. You must have like a nuclear bomb up your sleeve that you're going to give us that we can just drop from an aeroplane. I don't even know what one of those things is, God, but I can see this vision of a plane. If we fly that and drop a bomb, this thing's going to go off and we'll be fine. Let's look at the weapons that God gives them. This is in verse 15. We'll carry on with the story. When Gideon heard he believes again that God's going to do something. He returns to the camp of Israel and calls out, get up, to his army. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, this is the secret weapon. He places trumpets and empty jars in their hands with torches inside. This thing's going off. Oh, you mean I've got a trumpet and a torch? Gideon, the odds are back in our favor. We're going to do this thing now because you've given me the best weapon I could ever have, a trumpet and a torch. Gideon, you're stupid. The weapon we have in facing 2013, to the world are nuts, but to God they are so powerful. The trumpet's worship. It's your worship to your Heavenly Father. We think we worship when everything's going well. We think we worship when we've done good things, that we've lived a good life. You worship. He is God. He is good. He comes down and he loves you. End of. That's why we worship. The torch, the light, is the power of God's Spirit. His life, his light, his power living in you. You every time you read the Bible, this isn't like an academic exercise so you can answer questions in an exam. It's so that the Holy Spirit can get a hold of those words that are living and active and breathe life into them, into your spirit, so that you get faith, so that you believe God, so that you will advance and go forward in the power of God's Spirit and on every word that comes from his mouth, instead of your own wisdom and your own strength and your own understanding and your own qualifications. It's so that you say, I'm weak, but God's strong. His promises are here for me. And by the power of his Spirit, these things will come to pass. Because it's not by might, not by power, but by the wisdom and the power of God's Spirit that these things were breathed and come to life in and through you in 2013. This is the last message of three. Impossible possibilities. That God wants to set you up in 2013 very, very comfortable with your weaknesses, limitations, difficulties, persecutions, people that don't like you, people that oppose you, that you're happy to be there so that you seek him and his strength and his love and his power and his breakthrough for your life, so that filled with faith and expectation, with a mouth full of praise, with your heart full of the word of God, with the power of the Spirit coursing through you, say, 2013, God, is going to be a great year because you are with me. You've redefined me. You've renamed me. And you give me your strength. Can I say as a caveat, this is not a message about doing nothing. God did not say to Gideon, stay in that cave, I'll fix this, then you come out. He said, get up, go do something. Come on, Gideon, move yourself. Get some momentum going. It's just, where is your hope? When you get up, is it the first thing you do is write your business plan, tweak it, or do you think, and call some people that haven't paid you yet, or is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning, you go, God, this day needs you. I need you. I'm weak. I can't do this. Even with my qualifications and expertise, I cannot pull this off. God, I need you. It's where does your hope come from in 2013? What is amazing in this series, what we've realized again and again and again, is that God actually does all he can to expose your weakness. With every example we've taken, God wants to strip away confidence in you so that he exposes your weakness. We quickly try and replaster over the crack. God goes, smash. Weakness is good. Weakness is fine. Weakness is okay. Weakness is the new strength for 2013. He doesn't do that to discourage you. He does that to set you up so that you seek, believe, and expect that he will do amazing things through you. How do we respond? We respond like Paul did at the start of this message. He said, I will boast all the more in my weaknesses. Can I give you permission to boast this year in what you cannot do? Ellie, you can come up. It's not a done thing. We don't like doing it. We feel like it makes us weaker. We feel like it makes us vulnerable and it makes us exposed. But Paul says that when he did that, Christ's power rested on him. Christ's power actually rested on him. Not when he went, I am amazing, God. When he said, look, Lord, I'm weak. I can't do this. This year I need you. Paul's response was, he said, he delighted in weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, difficulty. And his statement of faith was, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak in myself, I am strong in Christ and his power that flows through. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we present ourselves to you this morning, not as strong or mighty or able, but as your people who are loved by you, called by you, chosen by you, yet so aware of our inability to do 2013 on our own, so conscious of our lack, so aware of what we cannot do. But Father, we want to thank you that we're in this place not full of discouragement, but full of faith, full of expectation, full of an excitement about the exchange that's taking place today between our inability and your ability, your infinite capacity to do the impossible and our infinite capacity to do only the possible. And Father, we want to thank you that you're setting up us for 2013, not as another year of the same old, but a year of divine possibilities, where you turn our impossibilities into possibilities, where you start to do things that we could never do for ourselves, where you start a breakthrough where we could never break through for ourselves, where you start to give us strength where we've only known weakness. Father, we want to thank you for your power that rests on us as we declare that we are weak. We thank you. Let the weak say they are strong. Let the weak say they are strong, because they God in the name and power of the living God.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.